Welcome back to the third and last half of this exercise. I'm going to introduce a young singer who is going to sing, of course. She's a singer of songs and an opera singer, has sung in many operas and has not in just as many. And she sings very well, many things. I met her about 2 years ago when she performed with me in a concert in Washington, D.C., in the famous concert hall there, the Constitution Hall. That was a Sunday performance, Sunday evening performance, and I arrived early Sunday morning in Washington, D.C., because I was going to have lunch at the White House. And of course, I'm delighted to say that I did have the experience. I had lunch at the White House. I say lunch, I was just munching on some crackers as I followed the guide around. I don't know many people anymore. Anyway, in the evening when I entered the stage in Constitution Hall, you can imagine my surprise when unexpectedly I saw in front of the stage the Vice President of the United States, Shapiro Agnew, who was sitting in a box right in front of the stage. I could see him clearly because they had removed the lid. And as I completed the program, I rushed backstage to my dressing room in front of the door to which stood a Secret Service man. Big sign here in the pocket. Secret Service. As I approached him, he pointed at me. He said, "You are Victor Borger." And of course, I thanked him for that invaluable information. Then he said, "My name is so-and-so." So I told him how sorry I was to hear that. And then he said, "The Vice President wishes to see you, and probably he wishes to thank you for the performance. Would you please prepare yourself to receive him? He should be here in less than a minute. He has already left his box." Now, I asked him if he could give me some hints of what was expected. What can you do in less than a minute, because time was marching on, you know? Now we had only a half a minute. And what, what kind of preparation can... Maybe wash one hand. Yeah. And in that case, which one? So, but anyway, then the door opened suddenly, and that was fortunate because the Vice President just stepped through the opening at that time. And that was a great honor, of course, for both of us. Well, the Vice President represents the administration, so to speak, or maybe just to speak. And I represented the people. I was the only people there, remember? So there we stood face to face, which was the most practical way of arranging that kind of thing. And then the Vice President just made some nasty remarks and left. And I haven't seen him since. In the same dressing room, a very exciting event took place. You remember the former President of the United States, Howard Johnson, Lyndon Johnson. We called him Gentleman Bird, remember him? Yeah. He attended a number of my concerts there in Constitution Hall with Lady Bird and one of the minor birds. Once the Vice President was there, the former Vice President, Whirly Bird. And once after a concert, he came into my dressing room unannounced, came over to me, lifted me up by my ears. And pronounced me a Great Dane. So there I was, hanging around for a little while. And then the president said, now do something. So I bit him. Then he laughed and asked me if there was something I wished to talk about. I couldn't think of a thing, you know. I was hanging there and excited. And every time I get nervous, something... There's only one thought that comes to my mind, and this has happened ever since I was a little boy. And that is, how does a fly land on the ceiling? Just like that. That was... And how does it get off again, you know? Just like that, that fall. Oh. I thought perhaps the President of the United States would know how a fly lands on the ceiling. Then again, I thought if the President does not have the correct answer for that either, for that, then why embarrass him? I wouldn't do that, so I didn't ask him any question. I just said, no, Mr. President, I have no... blah, 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 blah. And then he lowered me and I thanked him for the lift. And that was the end of that whole episode. I just thought I would let you know that things like that happen, and not necessarily in public. Now, my wife and I are still very fond of the Johnsons. We are fond of them. We use their wax every day. We use their wax all over the place. Now that I have told you all I know about the young singer who is going to sing for us, would you please welcome Miss Marilyn Mulvey. Continue to hands off, please. We have a deal. Miss Mulvey doesn't touch my piano. I don't lay hands on her coloratura. Hands off. All right. Well, we know your name now because Marilyn Mulvey is a very lovely name, and that's the one to whom you belong. To which she belongs. Yeah. Where are we? Oh, you're going to sing, yeah? Why didn't you say so? Is that dress on backwards, or what is that? Is that forward? Okay. It's fine with me. What have you decided to sing tonight?
Caro Nome from Rigoletto.
Oh, God. Mulvey will sing the Carami... What? Yeah, Carami, no. Glad to know me from the opera Rigoletto by George. It won't take long. If I can help it. And I can. Okay, ready? Okay, shoot the works. Good luck. To you too. Thank you. Too late. You want to hear one more? Do the one from the opera, the Russian opera. Yeah. This is from a Russian opera. The title of the opera is Ivan Ivanovich Sonovy Forofov. And this is about a Tsar who Tsared around in the 12th century. 1135, 36, quarter of 12. And he... And this is three acts. We find Miss Molvi as the mother of the Tsar. This actually should be sung by an older woman. But we can't wait for that. So... the Tsar is a bad ruler and has fallen off three times of his horse. And that's what the opera is about. People think that he, every time he falls off, that is the last because he will break his neck, but he didn't fall that way. So anyway, finally the horse dies. Yeah. And now he has nothing more to fall off of. And that's what gave the opera its title, Ivan Ivanovich Fall Off Of. Now in the third act, he meets Miss Mulvey, who has done her better, and the weather is not good either. And he is out walking with his uncle, Ivan Ivanovich Sonovovich Fall Off Of. And he is the bass. The Tsar is the tenor, but he has a speech impediment, which makes him kind of sound a little funny when he sings, but that, don't mind. This is for the soprano part, which is Miss Mulvey's. We find her in the third act. They have been looking for her all over the second act, but she's found in the woods. Who wouldn't? And that, I mean, the Tsar and his uncle, son of a witch, they find her in the woods. She's expecting. But she's expecting the Tsar, who's already 42, so she's way behind. I'll do the introduction. Hands off. I'll do the recitative and you just fall in. Don't fall up.
So what?
something come to an end, and this is it. This is what we had to offer, some laughs and smiles and giggles and sneezes and snoozes and coughs and hiccups. And when once in a while a handkerchief comes out to wipe away a tear from laughter, that is my reward. The rest goes to the government. In a couple of seconds, the lights will come up again in the auditorium, and it will look the way it looked when you arrived. Now you will be going the other way, unless you back out, of course. But we shall meet again, hopefully, sometime, maybe in your home, maybe in your dining room. Maybe in your living room. I don't know how many rooms you do have, but wherever your TV set is located, that's where we will meet again. If you drive an automobile, please drive carefully, because I walk in my sleep. Now comes the most difficult part of the performance. One always dies a little, you know, when it comes to goodbye. And I don't enjoy sitting here dying just a little. Twice tonight. So I have decided not to say goodbye. I just wish to remind you that a smile is the shortest. The more we smile, the less we will fight. Because to my knowledge, no one ever fought smilingly. And won. I also wish to thank you for your company, without which I would be terribly lonesome.